Yes, hello and welcome to Arsenal Gothenburg podcast, a podcast for Arsenal fans, by Arsenal fans, to Arsenal fans, where emotions run the show. My name is Philip Tolf, and with me, almost like always, my friend and colleague Oscar Axelsson. Hello to you, Oscar.
Hello, Philip.
How are you this evening?
I am fine. How are you?
Great. I'm fine. To be honest, I don't think anyone who listens to this are interested in, you know, in our small talk and chit chat. Maybe
not
they want
with a guest like this.
Sorry?
Not with a guest like this.
Not with a guest like this. Yes, exactly. With further ado, we have down the line the one and only Andrew Mangan, also known as Arsblog. Hello to you, Andrew.
Hello, guys. It's been ages since we talked to each other.
Yeah, when was the last time? I think it was last season.
Yeah, or 5 minutes ago. No, I'm joking. No, it's been...
Damn it, you spoiled it.
It's been, I think, maybe not last season. I think maybe the season before. It's been a while since I've heard your wonderful Swedish tones.
Yeah, my I have this, you know, my friends make fun of me because I have this, you know, Swinglish. I have this Swedish accent, but you know, I try my best.
Of course. Look, I can tell you one thing for sure, that your English is much better than my Swedish. So you have the advantage.
Okay, great. Maybe we should teach you just one word in Swedish, maybe later on.
Okay.
But you're fine in these times of trouble around the world?
Yes, I'm trying to stay as fine as possible, you know. The idea that I could just like pull the duvet over my head and you know, maybe just go into a kind of a coma for 6 months or something like that. And then I'd like to wake up and everything is fine and the world is happy and everyone is healthy and Arsenal are playing well next season and we bought lots of new players and everything is great on the pitch. That seems very attractive to me. It's just the whole how do you stay in a coma for 6 months thing that I haven't quite worked out yet. You know,
I have one suggestion for you.
What's that?
PlayStation.
A PlayStation coma. Yeah. Well, look, I could do that. But you know, there's only so much Rocket League a man can play in one day. You know.
True. That's a good point. By the way, you know, the coma trumps the trouble. Did you guys see the Serie A guy? You know, they don't have any audience in Serie A. Actually, they quit the whole league, right? Like today.
Yeah, all the sports in it is gone, yeah.
Well, that's brutal. But I think this was this weekend, and there was no, empty seats. And he scored a goal, he ran to the camera with the sign and said, everything's going to be fine, just stay at home, wait this out. So I think that's good.
I hope he's right.
I hope so. Andrew, in your introduction, we called you Arsblog. That's because you have an Arsenal blog, who's called Arsblog, and you also have a podcast, as us, called Arscast.
Yes.
Maybe some of our listeners, I doubt it, but maybe some of our listeners don't know you and your blog and your podcast. So if you like, shortly tell us about it, what it is.
Well, basically, it's a blog about Arsenal, and I was trying to think of a name many years ago, 18 years ago now, and it was like, well, what do you call a blog about Arsenal? Arsblog. That seems normal. And then when you start a podcast, you go, well, what do you call a podcast about Arsenal? An Arscast. People sometimes get the wrong idea, of course, thinking that it might be a podcast about arses and a blog about arses. But no, that's not the case. And there's plenty of those on the internet if people want to go looking for them. So, yeah, we just talk and write about Arsenal every day on the blog and on our news site and on the podcast as well. So if there's anybody out there who hasn't heard it or hasn't read, you're more than welcome. It would be great to have you along.
Great. Perfect. So, like I said, maybe some of our listeners don't know you as me and Oscar do. We have our introduction questions, so we get to know you as an Arsenal fan, you know, from an Arsenal perspective. They are very simple, but yet very brilliant.
Okay.
Oscar, do you want to fire away?
I always get the best question.
You know, I do this on purpose, right?
Yeah, of course you do. So, it's Philip's wonderful questions. So the first question is, what's your name?
Andrew.
Yes, I got it right.
Nice one. 10 points.
Yeah. 10 points. Next question, which is kind of three question in one, but it goes, how, when, and why did you become an Arsenal supporter?
I think because I can't remember exactly because, you know, I don't. It was so long ago. But I think it was because when I was living in England as a kid, I was born in England, but I'm Irish and my parents sort of brought me and my brother up to be Irish, even though we were living in England at the time. Arsenal had a lot of Irish players, Liam Brady and David O'Leary and Frank Stapleton and some players from Northern Ireland as well, like Pat Rice, who was Arsene Wenger's assistant for many years. Sammy Nelson, Pat Jennings, John Devine was another player from the Republic of Ireland. So I think I just identified with all the Irishmen in the Arsenal team, and that's how and why I'm an Arsenal fan.
Yeah. You don't remember which season it was? Must have been like 70s or so.
Yeah, it would have been late 70s. I think the first game I really remember was the 1979 FA Cup final that Arsenal won. They beat Manchester United 3-2. And that's the first game I can remember watching, but I'm pretty sure I was a fan before that. So let's say 77 or 78, something like that.
All right. Yeah. Doesn't really matter. I'm just curious.
That's okay.
Oscar, next question.
Yeah, next question. It's who's your favorite player then and who's your favorite player now?
My favorite player, like of all time?
Yeah.
Robert Pires is my favorite Arsenal player of all time. It's a tough one because we've had lots of really great players, haven't we, down the years. Who's my favorite player now? That's a really good question, though.
Yeah, it's a hard one, isn't it?
It is a hard one because, you know, the team hasn't been quite as good as it might have been, you know.
We know it's not Mustafi.
It's definitely not Mustafi, that's for sure. I think, like, my favorite player, not that the guy that I think is the best player, but my favorite player of the current squad is Hector Bellerin.
That's a good shout. Oscar, which player is your favorite player in the current squad? I should know this, but I don't.
I would probably say Martinelli. I was almost thinking that Andrew was going to say it's still Robert Pires since he's currently training with the team.
He's always in training, isn't he?
Yeah. That's beautiful.
I have a follow-up question to this, to Andrew. Yeah. Is that the most exciting interview you ever done with Robert Pires? How was that?
That was really good. It was a strange sort of situation because it was like a charity breakfast type thing where people paid money to come to the breakfast and then listen to an interview with Robert Pires. And I did the interview with Robert Pires and they sort of, you know, on television, you know, the little microphones, the lapel microphones that they clip onto somebody's shirt.
Yeah.
And you know, they pick up all the sound and you can talk, and they had those microphones there, except they didn't have the clips there'd no way, we'd no way of putting them on our shirts or our jacket or whatever. So you kind of had to hold these tiny little microphones and talk to him, which was a bit weird, but he was really a really nice guy, you know, really happy to talk and, you know, talk to everyone and get pictures with everyone. And it's really, it's cool when you, when somebody who's been your favorite player and you, you really like them and then they turn out to be really nice as well. That's fantastic. You know, that thing that they say, don't meet your heroes, you know, because the hero could turn out to be an asshole, is very not the case with Robert Pires. So, yeah, he was great.
Yeah, it really was, really was. I'm a bit jealous, actually. I would love to meet Pires, but maybe another day.
Mm, he smells really good too, by the way.
Well, of course he does. Of course he does.
Mm.
I bet even his feet smells good. Obviously the right one, which is a feet of God. yeah, I bet he does smell good. All right, I go with the next question. The next question is kind of a Swedish, expression. It's called rise and rose, which rise means one bad thing and rose means one good thing. So basically, rise and rose, in an Arsenal point of view, so rise is the worst thing about Arsenal, in your opinion, rose is the best thing, so to speak, about Arsenal, in your opinion, in general.
Right now.
Yeah, or maybe rose, you can say our history, because you have a good history, or rose Robert Pires, because he's the greatest player that ever lived, you know, so...
I think we should keep it current, because I don't want to, you know, traumatize anybody by talking about, you know, the Champions League final again or something like that. You know, we don't.
Okay, so keep it current. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't need to experience those things again. I think rose is the bad thing.
Rose is the good thing, like a beautiful rose, you know.
Okay, I'm gonna say Mikel Arteta.
Mm.
Because I think he is somebody who understands what the culture of Arsenal should be. He understands that it's not that at the moment, and he is really going to work hard to try and change it to something better. So I think that's very promising and very encouraging to me. What's the bad thing? Rice?
Rice, exactly.
I think I'm very tempted to say the owner.
Because we had Elliot Smith here, Jamie Kigunner, on the pod recently, and he said the owners, but of course you declined to say whatever you want.
I think the owner, but I'm sort of, yeah, I think because the owner isn't likely to change, I'm going to say the head of football, Al Sanyehi. I don't really trust in his work.
All right.
He's the one that brought in Arteta, you know, but there are a lot of question marks about that for me. So just in the very short term, that's where I'm going. I'm not saying that he's the worst person on the planet or anything like that. And if he does a good job, I will be the first one to stand up and say, I got it wrong. I will eat a big slice of humble pie. I apologize. Yeah. But for right now, I think he's got a lot to prove. So that's where I'm going with that.
Yeah, interesting.
Do you have more faith in him than in Ivan Gazidis?
I think it's a different kind of a lack of faith. The thing is, I suppose we had Gazidis for a long time, so we got to know him, and. Yeah, with Sanyehi, maybe we don't have as much time. So maybe he's got a little bit of catching up to do on Gazidis, but he's not far away.
Oh, it's that bad, you think?
It's just my personal opinion. You know, it's
of course.
A gut feeling that I have about this guy. I can't really explain it. I worry about, you know, the influence of agents over our transfer business and that kind of stuff. And I think he's...
Yeah, that's a good point.
Who's facilitating that, or is very open to working with agents rather than using other methods to scout and recruit players, like data and what have you, which most modern clubs are doing. We seem to be very tied into a couple of agents, and some people don't have any problem with that, and that's okay. That, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion. I have a bit of a problem with it. You know, if it brings us some good players in the summer, again, I'll hold my hands up and say, well, fair play. But for now, I'm just a little suspicious.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you should remember also that Raul Sanier was one of the persons who wanted to, you know, extend Emery's contract.
Yes, that's part
kind of an alarm bell.
That's part of it, for sure.
Yeah. But we will see. Hopefully he will, he will flip the coin, so to speak. Can you say that? He will flip, I don't know. Hopefully he will turn out good. That's what I mean.
Sure, I know what you mean.
Yeah, great. Oscar, will you fire away with the last question?
Sure. So, are you a member of Arsenal Gothenburg? It's the last question. Have you sorted this out yet, Philip? This was on you. The last time we did the podcast, you were supposed to sort this out.
I have had around 1 year. No, I haven't sorted this out. But are you a member, Andrew?
Unfortunately, no, I don't appear to be a member of Arsenal Gothenburg. What are the benefits of being a member of Arsenal Gothenburg? I mean, you have the parties and the nights out and the VIP entry to nightclubs and all that kind of stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
Now you get cheaper beer on our local pub.
Okay.
And as I use this during the weekend, Philip, I can tell you, you get a good burger cheap on match days, 100 SEK, which would be about 850 quid, maybe, a burger meal, good burgers.
That's not bad.
Yeah. One more, and I think that turns out to be like 30% on that burger meal off, around 30-40% off. So that's quite good, and cheaper beer is always good.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to do some. Our community tries to give back to the members whenever possible. We have had parties down the years, which all the members have got free food and beer sometimes, and yeah. So
okay, I'm in. Count me in.
Yeah,
great.
I had you at beer, right?
You did, for sure. Just send me the application form. I'll get on it.
Perfect. So, Oscar, how do Andrew become a member?
The easiest would be for him to go to our new website, which has been updated lately, arsenalgothenburg.se. And we should probably notice. Can you get it in English, Philip? You can, right?
Yes, you can get it in English.
Good. So I think that would be the easiest way, especially if you're English speaking. So you can get everything in English.
I'm on the website here. I'm looking. Contact. Okay.
So everything good? Looks good on the website. We don't lie. Otherwise.
But it's in Swedish, so I'm struggling.
In Swedish.
Yeah. What does contact mean?
Contact means like it means like if you want to have informations. okay, great. You can also visit our social media, which is Oscar.
Arsenal GBG at Instagram and Twitter, and. Yeah. Arsenal Gothenburg on Facebook. And if you're like Andrew, I know you would prefer Twitter or Instagram. I know you don't like Facebook.
No, I'm not a big fan. Not a fan. I'm on there, but I have to be on there, but I, you know.
I say fuck Facebook in the face. That's where I stand.
I think that's good. You know, Facebook is also Instagram, though, which is annoying because I quite like Instagram. But yes, I think Facebook should go fuck itself, really.
Yeah.
You know, I think the world would be a better place without Facebook. That's what I think.
I totally agree. So enough about that commercial. You got everything right, Andrew. You feel like a member already, I guess.
I do. I can feel the warm glow in my heart now of my Swedish Gothenburg nationality running through me practically. That's what it's like.
Wow, this is wonderful. So are we ready to talk a little bit about our game, which we'll play this Saturday against West Ham?
Yes, by all means.
Perfect. By the way, you know what I remembered now? Last time you was guest on our pod was last season when we lost 1-0 away from West Ham. This time it's a 1-0 win over West Ham at home.
Good.
Funny coincidence.
It was in January, by the way. I checked this January. Out, Philip.
All right, so about a year January. Ago. Perfect. We start as we always do with a starting lineup, and I'm gonna go with you, Andrew. What do you think about it? Any thoughts when you saw it? Any thoughts in hindsight? What do you think?
I think it was probably what I expected, to be honest. The only sort of slight surprise was Socrates at right back. And I think we've come to learn in the last couple of days that Hector Bellerin is still carrying a bit of an injury. So he's not being used, which explains why Socrates is there. And of course, there's another element of that as well, which is Ainsley Maitland-Niles, who's not being used at right back. Again, there was some information from David Ornstein that maybe he's been late to training a couple of times, and maybe Mikel Arteta is not that happy with the way that he's working on the training ground. So that was the only issue, I think, for me in terms of the lineup. Apart from that, it was exactly as I thought it was going to be.
Pablo Marie, Oscar, had his first Premier League game. What do you think about it?
An alright debut in the Premier League, I think. There's things to work on. I wouldn't single-handedly put any blame on him. I would say, though, that I don't think the team as a defensive unit didn't have its best game. Leno had a good game, but the other defensive unit didn't have its best game in recent times. I am a bit concerned about how bad we've been in the air the last few games. That's really concerning me.
Mm.
It seems to be an ongoing trend as well. We seem to be carrying this from game to game now. I think we've been a lot worse in the air for some reason in the last few games.
Do you think that is in the players' contract? You know, when you sign for Arsenal, that's one thing. You often get injury. Yes, I signed for that. Second thing, you're going to be bad in the air. Yeah, okay, I have to sign to that. All jokes aside, I will hope not. I'm going to continue with you, Andrew, because like Oscar said, this was not, you know, it was kind of worrying. We were bad in the air. We were bad defensively. I know you talked in your podcast, Arscast, that, you know, the similarity this game to a lot of Unai Emery games. Do you know what I mean? When I watched the game, I thought myself, like, oh, this is like watching Emery's Arsenal again.
Yeah, I think we're maybe a little bit scarred by the fact that, you know, a bad performance, but not necessarily a bad performance. I mean, it wasn't great, but, you know, a game which was really difficult that we scrap our way to a 1-0 win automatically becomes like, well, that's no better than Unai Emery ever did. And that might be true, but I think you've got to remember that there were times where we won games like that under Arsene Wenger as well, when we had better players and a better team. Sometimes games were really hard. Sometimes games can be very, very difficult. And I think part of that was because we didn't play well. Part of it was because West Ham actually did take advantage of the smaller amount of possession that they had, and they made some chances, and they were more efficient with their attacking moments than we were. But you know, I think we have to look at the way results have changed in the last few weeks under Mikel Arteta. I know we lost to Olympiacos, and everybody's very downhearted about that, and I can understand that. But I think we've won 6 of our last 8 games, and that's not bad at all. I think it's one defeat and one draw in there as well. You know, so we're winning games again, which we weren't really doing. We were drawing a lot of games, of course, which was a big problem. But I think because of the context of everything, because, you know, Arteta's only recently taken over and the team was in such a mess, you know, I do think we just need to kind of see how the rest of this season plays out, because what I think is happening is Arteta is getting to know these players. He's getting to understand them better. He's getting to see what they're capable of and what they're not capable of in various circumstances, in various games and what have you. And I think that will, you know, inform what he does in the summer. So we can be disappointed with the way that we played. I don't think we can be disappointed with the result, because ultimately we won the game. We've beaten them 1-0. So I think sometimes the analysis, we can talk about the game as we are talking about the game, but in the wider context, we have to remember where we were a couple of months ago and where we are now. And I think it's better. I do think it's better.
Do you think that's the thing? Because, you know, I certainly thought, you know, when Arteta took over, like, I'm going to give this time, I'm going to be patient, I'm going to see, like, the rest of the season, like a preseason, you know what I mean? But do you think that if patience started to run out for some fans? I'm the best fan in the world, so not for me, obviously. But do you think it's that to start to happen? You know, I've seen this, like, this many times. Just give me a 5-0 win and blah, blah, blah. I play beautiful football again. Do you think people have started to forget, you know, the hard work that it comes with it?
Maybe they have. I think there's always an element of every football fan base that's difficult to please. And it's not just Arsenal. It's, you know, it's Liverpool. It's Man United. It's every team, you know, that there are fans who want a lot from their team. And look, I would love a 5-0 win, as would you, but we have to be realistic.
Yeah, of course.
We have to. You can't forget that this is his first job. He brought in a couple of loan players in January. The team was in an absolute mess, mess.
Yeah.
The likes of which we haven't seen for 30 years. You know, that's how bad it was. That was how few points we had in the Premier League. So, look, if people are getting impatient at this point, I think it's premature. I really do. I think you need to get to the end of this season, see where we end up. Hopefully we can get some European football next season. And during the summer, we rebuild. We do good business in the transfer market. And if we don't see the next step in terms of how we play and how we perform and everything else, if we don't start seeing that next season, then I think it's reasonable to sort of to ask more questions. But right now, you know, Arteta's getting a lot more out of the players who did so badly under Unai Emery. And that's to his credit. And I think the form is always going to fluctuate a bit there. You know, some of these players are good, but they can't do it consistently. So it really is just about managing expectations and not forgetting the context of where we were. Arteta's only been in charge for 3 months. That's all it is. That's 12 weeks or something. It's no time. So I think we can't forget that.
That's insane when you think about it. Just 12 weeks and I've done this much. I always do this. I always take notes during a game. But this is like first half. I have like 5 notes or something. Which one note is Fabianski almost, you know, dropped the ball. I think that was kind of hilarious, if you remember.
I don't remember that bit, but I was hoping he would, you know, be a bit more Fabianski than he was.
Yeah, he always is kind of good, you know, when he plays us, I think. But I have one note, actually. I'm going to go to you, Oscar, now. I have one note. Is, maybe we come back to this, but I have this. Ceballos, very good in the first half. What do you think?
Yeah, he's having a lot of ball or having a lot of possession, and I still don't think we found the perfect balance, which I've been going on for about how many seasons now since we started this podcast, probably.
5 seasons ago then.
Yeah. So no, but he's really upped his game. He's playing more consistently, I think. He's carrying the ball good. Yeah. I still don't think we've found the right balance, and that's not just down to him. It's down to hard work to get the players to get a better understanding between them, not running into the same spaces, which I feel is a big problem at the moment. A lot of players running into the same spaces.
Funny
I
you
feel
say,
that's
yeah, sorry to, yeah, go on.
A problem at the moment, especially Özil running. I know I was supposed to talk about Ceballos, but Özil running onto the wing, occupying the same space as Pepe a lot of the time. I think that's a big problem as well. Although that doesn't maybe have so much to do with Ceballos, but I still don't think we nail down where everyone should be.
It's funny you say that because I think about that as well. Like Özil really wants to be in the Pepe's lap. You know what I mean? Like on his knee, basically. And I don't think that's good for either of them, especially not for the team. Andrew, do you have something to say about Özil Pepe's lap sitting?
I think that the fact that you've got two left-footed players playing on the right-hand side for a lot of the time, you know, Pepe's out there and Ozil is very close to him. I think that the two of them, their natural inclination is to cut inside. Therefore, we lose the width on the right-hand side. And I think Oscar is right. The midfield balance is not correct. And I don't think it's a case that we don't quite know how to get that balance with the players that we've got. I'm just not sure that we have the players to give us balance. You know, I don't know that there's enough in our midfield options to really produce a balanced midfield, which is why I think it's got to be an area of priority in the summer. So, you know, we really need to find a midfielder who, or maybe two midfielders who can just give us something a little bit different, you know. I think it's difficult for Arteta to create partnerships in there as well at the moment because you know there's some of the players are quite like for like, or even with Ceballos, he's asking him to do something quite similar to what Xhaka is doing, which is picking the ball up from deep, and I'm not sure there's enough movement ahead of him for the passing to work. So it's definitely an area of concern. But you know, a couple of weeks ago, it worked okay against Newcastle in the second half. So maybe it just needs a bit more time. But I think, you know, I do think in the summer there's going to be a fairly substantial change to our midfield.
It would be interesting to see. I just want to lift a finger, made a point for Torreira, which I is a huge fan of. He was obviously missing at the day, but I think he is a good player for our team and for our balance. But obviously he's out for the rest of the season, and that's going to be a big problem for Arteta to solve, I think.
Yeah, I agree. It's bad to lose him because he is, you know, the most naturally defensive midfielder in there, and he is somebody who could provide balance, you know, if you find the right guys to work with him.
Yeah.
Would you guys
Moving on.
be, sorry, Philip, not to interrupt you, would you guys be
Go
worried
on.
that we don't have that much of a, we don't have so many options now, so basically Ceballos and Xhaka are almost given in the team now. They don't have so much coming under them to put pressure on them to deliver. They're almost a
Guendouzi
given
is
in the
there,
team
remember?
now. Yeah, that's
Yeah,
true.
Guendouzi is there. I think he's still a player. He's obviously a good player, but you know, he's still somebody who's got quite a bit to learn. And I think, you know, the fact that he was almost an automatic choice under Unai Emery, and he's not an automatic choice under Mikel Arteta, tells you maybe Arteta just isn't quite as convinced about him, or he feels like he needs to to just sort of change his mindset a little bit, you know. But he's there, and Joe Willock is there as well, you know, somebody who was very good in the first half of the season, in the second half of the season not so much. But again, it's kind of hard to know exactly where Willock is going to play, you know. So yeah, look, the lack of depth is a problem, and I think you're right, it does cause a bit of an issue with competition.
Yeah. Moving on to second half. Obviously, we had Socrates has a header in the crossbar in the first half, but too bad that it didn't go in. Moving on to the second half. My first note on the second half actually is Bernd Leno make a monster save on Antonio's header. I think Bernd Leno was probably one of our best player this game, like many games before. What do you guys think?
Oscar.
Starting with you, Oscar. Sorry.
Yeah, he had once again a really good game. He always seems to be very good under pressure. When the opposition has a lot of chances, he always seems to deliver. It's Andrew's been saying a few times, maybe it's when he doesn't have so much to do, that's when he maybe is not as his best. But like he's been for most of this season under a lot of pressure, then he always seems to deliver, I think.
I really enjoyed that save also. He like boxed the ball. It looked like he was angry at the ball, like, no, no, wait, no.
Yeah, it's a good save. He has made some amazing saves for us this season. Somebody put a compilation up on Twitter. It wasn't just this season, but last season as well. And he really has made some astonishing saves since he joined the club. A big part of that, of course, is because he has so many shots taken at him.
Many
shots. You know, it's kind of ludicrous that an Arsenal goalkeeper should be that busy, you know. We need to make sure he's less busy. But what we also need to make sure is that in games where he's less busy, you know, his concentration and his focus remains high. I really think he's best when we are kind of under the cosh a bit, you know, under a lot of pressure. I think he's great. I think he's so focused on his game, and he produces some amazing stuff. But I, you know, in this particular game, I thought he was our man of the match. I don't think we'd have won this game without him.
Yeah, it was really, really good. Lacazette came on early in the second half. He actually scored. Would you believe it?
Mm.
Andrew, do you have anything to say about the goal? Ursul assist with a header. He used his head for once. Ha ha ha. And like I said, scored. That's his third goal in the last four games, is it?
Lacazette, yeah. How many has he scored? Let me see. You could be right. Three goals in four games, having gone a long time without scoring anything at all. So, you know, that can happen with strikers. They go through these periods where they don't score, and then, you know, a goal opens things up again for him. He wouldn't necessarily be my favorite player, but I think we can all acknowledge that he's a better player than we've seen so far this season. That's for sure.
Yeah, totally. I agree. Last season, he was, I think, our player of the season. This season, not so much. Rough times, so to say.
Yeah, but I think we have to give maybe Arteta a little bit of credit here as well, because
credit to Arteta. Sorry.
Yeah, what he's done is he's brought in Nketiah, and Nketiah has scored three goals in a similar period of time as well. So
yeah,
not a few more games, a few more appearances, but you know, time frame is basically the same as Lacazette. So what he's done is he's told Lacazette, look, your place in the team is not assured. You're not an automatic pick for this team. I'm going to give Eddie some chances. Eddie is looking at it going, well, great, I'm getting some chances, I'm going to score some goals, which he's done. So he's taken his chance. And Lacazette is now aware that the guy that has taken his place in the team is capable of scoring goals. So the only way he can convince Mikel Arteta is by scoring goals himself. And if we talk about the competition for places in midfield not quite being there, it's definitely there for that position. And maybe those two, that little sort of that rivalry, friendly rivalry, I think, as well, you know, is good for both of them. And ultimately, that's good for the team.
Yeah, I agree. Speaking of the goal, Oscar, are we going to go to the VAR talk? Are we going to go there?
I think it's hard not to.
Do you have something to say except fuck VAR?
No, I think I'm done there. No, it was really annoying. I was in the pub watching it with a lot of friends. And you know, it hadn't been the best game. And we finally scored and everyone went mental. And then you see the VAR and it's like... And we've been speaking earlier in the game about us never getting any... Never getting any VAR decisions going our way. We haven't done this season. We got one, which was the one with Aubameyang versus was the one versus Man United, which in my opinion is astonishing how a referee could take that for offside against Manchester United. It's beyond me how they could even make that decision in the beginning. So we've been speaking about that during the game, and then you just see the VAR, and it's like, you get this really, really bad feeling. I got a really bad feeling. And of course, it wasn't hard to see it wasn't offside. Apparently for everyone, except the ones who's sitting in the VAR room, they should honestly have like a time limit on how long they have to take a decision like that. It shouldn't be allowed to take like 2 minutes for them to make a decision.
Not really one game. That's as easy as that.
It was like you said, Andrew, on your podcast, like the first replay, it's onside. And then they start, you know, draw all the lines, you know, up and down and blah, blah, blah. Ursula offside, like you said, Andrew, with one of his pubes. So what the fuck is the question about? So I don't know. Luckily this time we got a goal, but if I could, I would scrap VAR in an instant. I've said this before on the podcast. I fucking hate it, so to speak. But I don't know. We got the goal this time, but next time maybe the TV is gonna go out the window or something. I don't know. After the goal, West Ham did get us under a bit of pressure. Luckily, again, we had Leno. I think it's the third box in the Arsenal contract, like get injured, bad in the air, and the last 10 minutes be a shambles. Oscar, do you want to continue with it? How was the tension at the pub?
It's nervous. But yeah, I mean, there's some credit to give to Arteta. Maybe it's we've been a lot better to ride the pressure out. Honestly, think if Unai Emery was the coach, we would have conceded a goal because we always seem to do. At least in the last 6 months of the Unai Emery era, it seemed like we always conceded in that types of situations during games. But that's something that's been building in the team. The confidence is a bit better. We seem to be more capable of riding the pressure out.
Mm-hmm. Great. Obviously, Bellerin came in for Ozil. He didn't do much, so I don't think we need to talk about that much more. Andrew, I'm going to turn the attention to you now, because it's time for the beloved segment in the podcast, which is called Player of the Season. It's the segment where the guest, which is you, Andrew, give players points from the games we talk about. In this case, is West Ham. The Western game, Arsenal 1, West Ham 0. The player you think against West Ham was our third best player, you give 1 point. The second best player against West Ham, you give 2 points. And the best Arsenal player against West Ham, you give 3 points. And these points go to a total, to a table. And in the end of the season, we see which player who actually has been player of the season. Okay. Do you understand the rules of the game?
I do.
Great.
Where do you want me to start? Like the third best player or the best player?
Start with the third best player. I'm just going to settle the tone here that Bernd Leno and Aubameyang is both number one. Number two is Mathieu Guendouzi. And number three so far is Nicolas Pepe. Maybe this could change. I don't know. Your third best player against West Ham.
My third best player was Bukayo Saka. Because I thought, you know, he produced some dangerous moments in the second half. He made a really good chance for Nketiah. He was involved in the goal. If you look back at the goal, he kind of picks the ball up on that left-hand side. And I know it's a bit fortunate Aubameyang's shot is deflected. But Saka, you know, had the ball and was, you know, giving the defender some problems. So I think, you know, on a day when not a lot of people play particularly well, he's my number three.
Yeah. Just going to stop you there. Bukayo Saka. I don't know. Maybe we should do a whole podcast about Bukayo Saka, because his development and his season so far has been, it's been brilliant, I think. It's like you never can stop talk about it, because it's so brilliant for an 18 years old going and do the job he has done. I have no words for it, actually.
Yeah, he's been fantastic, and hopefully he signs that new contract.
Yeah, that's the thing. Sign that thing. Your second best player against West Ham?
Danny Ceballos.
Danny Ceballos, that's a great one.
Yeah, I thought maybe, you know, there were a couple of times where his passing wasn't quite as good as it might be, and maybe he could go forward a bit quicker at times, but I think in terms of, you know, just making sure that he was on the ball and being there and trying to keep things going and moving, I thought he was our best outfield player.
And of the match against West Ham.
Bernd Leno. He's the number one, in this particular thing as well. You know, the saves that he made were great. And yes, that's it. I think, you know, he's the obvious choice for our player of the match.
Yeah, we talked about earlier, he made some beautiful saves, and we're lucky to have him in games like this.
I agree.
Great. Then we close this game, like we used to say in this podcast. When we're finished with a game, we close it. We never talk about it again. We hide it in a drawer. And looking forward, this is Tuesday evening when we record this. Tomorrow, in about, not 24 hours, but maybe 26 hours or so, we're going to play Manchester City away. Oscar, what do you think? Have you made your, what do you say, made your prayers?
Yeah, I don't know. Not too many prayers done by my or by me. I do think it's interesting in the aftermath of the West Ham game to think that maybe the likes of Bellerin was probably saved. So let's hope he will be fit to start tomorrow. I wouldn't like to play Socrates at right back tomorrow. I think we should go to five at the back tomorrow with Bellerin and Saka as wing backs. I don't think that's the worst idea with the team that we have. Maybe you could sacrifice one of the midfielders in a game like this.
Maybe there's no room for Pepe in a five at the back formation. Or you're playing up front, maybe?
I don't know. He has done early this season, but
yeah,
we really haven't seen Arteta do this so much. so I'm not sure he's gonna do it, but it's definitely a thought that's crossed my mind. And probably if I got to choose, I would have Aubameyang up as the lone striker if I could choose myself. I'm not too confident that's gonna happen. It's a bit of a shame that Manchester City was so bad and lost against Man United, both for our chances of ending up in top four, top five, and also that they probably under more pressure to deliver now. But yeah, I somehow think it's gonna be a draw.
A draw.
Yeah.
I take it any day of the week. Andrew, do you have any thoughts about tomorrow's game? Does Arteta have any secret plans, or what do you think?
I don't know. It's going to be quite interesting to see what team he picks and whether he thinks Pep thinks he's going to do something, so he'll do something different from what he thinks Pep thinks he's going to do. I don't know. You know, I think because the connection between Guardiola and Arteta is so close and so recent as well, I think it adds an extra dimension to this. Like Oscar, I'm a bit worried because they lost in the derby. So, you know, imagine if we'd lost to Tottenham, you know, the players would be, you know, really motivated, really up for this one. Man City are a great team anyway, and I think it's going to be very, very difficult. I would pay good money to take a draw from tomorrow night's game. I think that's probably the best we can achieve. You know, we haven't been brilliant, and away from home in big games has not really been a strength of ours. So if we were to come away from there with a point, I think it would be a good night for Arsenal, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely. What I can see here, Kevin De Bruyne is still injured for tomorrow. And I read a stat earlier today that Manchester City have scored 0 goals without Kevin De Bruyne in the league so far this season.
Wow.
So there is a chance.
Okay, well, let's see. I think Aguero is fit and Sané is fit again. So, you know, they've got lots of options and lots of quality. So, you know, if it doesn't work for them first, they can change things. That's the thing that worries me most about Man City is that, you know, I think we're very dependent on what our first team, what our first 11 will do, without necessarily the quality on the bench to change things in a significant way. I tell you what wouldn't surprise me at all for this game is if Pepe was on the bench
Oh,
and
really?
if Reece Nelson started the game.
Oh, that's a good shout.
I wouldn't
What
be
do you, what do you think about Lacazette on the bench against West Ham? Is he up for it?
I think he'll start Lacazette, Aubameyang on the left, and I think he'll play Reece Nelson on the right, ahead of Pepe, unless he doesn't play Ozil and moves Pepe into the middle. I'm not sure, but I just think in terms of the structure of the team and protecting the fullbacks, again, depending who he's got as fullbacks, you know, on the right-hand side. Yeah, I just wouldn't be surprised to see Nelson because he just feels like a more somebody who will do more of the defensive dirty work than Pepe, you
Yeah,
know,
okay.
whose focus is much more attacking.
Interesting. What do you say when I say Özil out, Willock in for more running legs?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, it's not impossible. It might be more a case that he plays Guendouzi and Xhaka and then uses Ceballos a bit further forward as well.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We have to wait and see, I guess. It's like, what are 25, 26 hours till kickoff, so it's gonna be interesting. That's it, actually. That's everything I wanted to talk about. Oscar, do you have anything that I forgot to say, or do you have anything you want to add?
No, I think we pretty much covered it. Always a pleasure having the knowledge of Andrew on. The knowledge that is Andrew.
Well, thank you for having me, guys. It's always good to chat to you, and good luck with the podcast.
Thank you very much. And if you listen and you liked Andrew, I highly recommend Arscast and read Arsblog as well.
Thank you.
And like I said, for Andrew and everyone else, go to arsenalgothenburg.se and become members and read all about us. Andrew, we're going to let you go. And thank you very much for being guest in Arsenal Gothenburg podcast. Talk to you next season.
For sure. You're very welcome. And thank you again for having me.
Great, great, great. Have a nice evening. And take it easy with the PlayStation.
You too. I'll do my best.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Yes, thank you very much to Oscar Axelsson, which you can find on Twitter at Oscar with 3 R's 93, and of course our guest Andrew Mangan, also known as Arsblog, which you can find online. Just search for Arsblog, and of course his podcast Arscast. Yes, and if you want to become a member of Arsenal Gothenburg, just visit arsenalgoteborg.se or our social media, which is @ArsenalGBG on Instagram and Twitter, and on Facebook, Arsenal Göteborg. Yes, right. I just have to say I'm sorry about my bad audio. My ordinary microphone didn't want to work when we recorded. I really don't know why, so I had to use my spare microphone. I'm sorry about that. Hope I didn't scare you off, and hope you enjoyed it anyways. And hopefully you listen next time. Hopefully my microphone will work that time. It works now, so I don't really know what was the problem. But there you go. Hope you liked it anyway, and thank you a million for listening. Let's hope for a win against Man City. Yes. Thank you very much for listening. Oh, to be a Gooner.